Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Family Jewels,
a podcast about family drama, family trauma, and everything else you got from your mama.
Oh! Sorry, that was so pleasing. I know I'm not meant to speak yet.
No, you family didn't. Jewels, when you're here, you're family.
Cease and desist from Olive Garden pending.
This is my sister from another Mr. Charlie Dinkin.
This is my colleague, Olga Koch.
We started this podcast because when you talk shit about other people, it's gossip.
But when you talk shit about your family, it's research.
Joining us today is multi-hyphenate performer, actor, comedian, writer, winner of Pink News Entertainer of the Year.
Woo! Sophie Juca!
Woo! Ding, ding, ding! Yay! Thank you for having me to the family hearth.
Ooh! Oh, like
hearth?
What's a hearth?
That's nice.
It's like a heart, but warmer.
Oh, okay.
You know, like a hearth. It's yeah, hearth and hearth.
Yeah,
hearth
like
and
a.
I'm sure. An oven. English is my second language.
I feel like every podcast I go on, I out myself as a secret Victorian.
Like, just happened.
Thank you.
All right, benefactors. She's here from the prairies. a hearth is it like it would be like the you cook on it and it's hot.
Oh, I thought a hearth was
or
like
is it
a,
just a
the
fireplace?
Place. I think it can be whatever you want it to be.
Well, it's a welcome to our hearth.
I love the idea that Sophie Duker is a time traveler. That's just quite bad at it.
I'm like, hey,
I think you would have done well in a homesteady little house on a prairie. It feels like it's against everything about your personality.
Quite ahistoric.
I sort of could see you though. Like, do you think you could go cottagecore? You know what I mean?
I do like I appreciate the cottagecore aesthetic on others. I feel like it's not thotty enough for me.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
When it's you and your girlfriend, I feel like you could really go cottagecore.
Oh my God, the two of us in a little, what is it? Like it's a big collar? A big collar and nothing else. Yeah, kind of like this, but with none of the other fabric.
Just drinking fresh milk from the udder, spraying each other. Come on! Sophie, we are here to talk about your family.
My family.
Did you get on well with your family?
No. weird for a lighthearted podcast. No, I have a lot of family. I got my immediate family, and then I got about 26,000 aunties.
We got time. We got battery
Let's
packs.
Rank.
I got so many aunties, and a lot of my family live in other parts of the world.
Great.
I don't know. I might be the first person to have international family.
It's very exciting.
So yeah, it's quite a mixed bag.
So do you want to tell us about your immediate family first?
Yeah. Let's talk about Mama.
Right.
Mama Irene.
Mama Irene.
Love.
Paint us a picture.
My mum is, I'm reasonably well informed that she is quite glamorous.
Ooh.
She's a glamorous mama. She loves jewelry. She had a jewelry business. I should put business in inverted commas because it was really just her buying a lot of jewelry.
You can't relate. For those listening at home, the table that we're podcasting off of is covered in fake pearls.
It's covered in fake. Oh, and fake.
Wow. If we knew this about your mom before, we could have gotten mates rates.
She would have loved to give you. She is
the official supplier of the Family Jewels podcast.
It's because I say this lovingly about my mom. She's like a soft babe. She's a ditz. She doesn't want to work, which is a problem. But it was also fine and justified because she's, you know, been incredibly hardworking for so many years.
Yeah,
thank
fine.
You.
Can relate without the hardworking for many years, but.
But she's like all about the side hustle. So she's got into about, I would say, 8 pyramid schemes. She is always thinking that she can like make a quick buck.
Yeah,
and one
yeah.
way that she wanted to do this was buying something she already buys a lot of, which is jewelry.
Oh, that's really smart.
And
make
so she's
make the hobby your job.
Make the hobby your job. Hello,
make
fellow
the hobby
comedians,
your
writers. So she's got a lot of costume jewelry, a lot of interesting jewelry, a lot of pieces from Africa and stuff, and she does not resell them effectively.
So she's buying them, she's touching them, she's wearing them, she's getting a good feel for them, and then she's simply not
shifting them. She like occasionally at like a christening, she'll like get someone out of the back in the car park and she'll sell them some jewelry.
Does she gift you a jewel?
She has gifted me jewels in the past. We have different styles, I would say, of jewelry. Okay. But sometimes if I need a statement piece, like for my last show, which was called Hag, I wanted to look like a glamorous lady.
Yeah.
And so I borrowed some pearls from my
yes.
mother. So yeah, she has lent me jewels. The last thing that she gave me, though, was a rock. She got me a rock because she went on a pilgrimage, because she's also a religious lady. And she brought me a rock from a village where there is a man who sees the Virgin Mary on the hour, every hour.
Wait, I need you to repeat every sentence, word in that sentence again.
The last gift I got from my loving mother
yes.
was a rock
yes.
from a village
yes.
in, I think, Lithuania.
Okay.
She went to Lithuania on a pilgrimage gifted to her by a friend, a close female friend. And she met a guy that sees the Virgin Mary every hour on the hour.
Okay, my first question is, the hour strikes and then he sees, or that's how they know that the hour has occurred?
I really want you to believe, Charlie Dinkin, that I really refrain from asking my
You don't want to ask
follow-up questions. But she was like, basically, he has been seeing her since he was a kid, and he was with another group of kids, but like, the other kids, like, some of them only see the Virgin Mary, like, once a year, like, on Christmas
Lame.
Day. Some of them see her, like,
Lame.
Every month. But he sees her every day.
Legend!
Why not just say you see her all the time?
I mean, he's an honest guy.
Life's
he doesn't want to embellish the story.
She's just popping up like It Follows, like, outside the door, round the corner, once an hour.
Yeah. She's just popping up.
Where does the rock come in?
They was, like, in a sort of cave where they first saw the Virgin Mary. So they all went on a pilgrimage to this cave. And she brought me a rock, and it's got scratch and biro, like the letter S.
So it's just for you.
Yeah, I don't know if my mum did that so she could remember which rock was for me. Or if it's like the world's shittest gift shop, and they just got like, you can have an S.
We personalize. You get out a Sharpie.
But yeah, she's a sweet soul because she got me the rock and a little gold rosary, like a little crucifix necklace. Yeah, she's a believer. And she loves the
bling. Do you know
the
what the rock is supposed to bring to you?
Oh, she didn't. She didn't even give it to me. I sort of went to her flat, and she like left it on the pillow in the spare room.
Oh.
And I was like,
it's like a threat.
Yeah. You'll be next. I don't know. And I was like, oh, thank you for the rock. I think it's because I asked her to stop buying me clothing, so she's like...
Okay. She was like, enjoy your rock.
Enjoy your rock, bitch.
I hate to do a tangent, but I feel like there's a whole industry of these pilgrimages that don't actually take place anywhere near the events of the Bible. Like, I think Helen Bauer's mom went on a pilgrimage in the south of France. Like, it was like the Mary Magdalene route. And
yeah,
it's like,
if you're going to go, you might as well somewhere with good wine bars, you know?
I think my mom might have done that. It's... It's not her first, what's the saying? It's not my first pilgrimage.
A thing I feel like I have seen more is people doing pilgrimages, but like they're secular. They're doing the pilgrimage in a secular way.
Like, oh yeah, the
Camino.
Walk.
Yeah, they just want to go on a big walk and have a reason to do it.
And I want to do a big walk in the south of France.
Yeah.
Sure, Mary Magdalene is the coolest character in the Bible.
Yeah, and if you can have a little bit of magic on the sign, like, why not? Sounds good.
Free rocks in the end. Free getting your rocks off. There we go.
Yeah, there's not even crystal. I, it's not a crystal. It's a rock. It's all not right. Shiny. Sorry, that was salty. Thank you, Mama, for my rock.
Rock me. So your mom, you have siblings?
Mama Irene, I have a little brother called Channing. He is just under 3 years younger than me, and he is better than me in every way. I think that's kind of the thing for younger siblings, yeah. Especially when they're boys. I feel like younger sisters might be a bit annoying.
Yeah.
You have a lot of siblings.
I have one brother. One brother. That's it.
Yeah. Is he better than you in every way? You're like, objectively, no.
I'm going to say. He's a much more serious, professional, focused man than me. Mm-hmm.
But there's something about a younger brother that gets parents so excited, because we all three of us have younger brothers.
Certainly,
and they
ticking
love
boxes.
Them.
Yeah. Oh God, he's the golden child.
Yeah.
The sunny boy.
Yeah, and not being like swayed by the wind. It's like I have now stopped telling my parents every small detail about my life. But it's like I think the emotional roller coaster we were all on around me was like very different to the straightforward countryside drive that my brother was on, you know what I mean?
They're so uncomplicated.
Little brothers are some of the most confident people I've ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's great. But he's also settled down. Okay. Oh. He hasn't really settled down. He has a child out of wedlock.
Wow.
I don't know what The Rock thinks about that. But he's
How
got...
does your mom feel about that?
Oh, great. It's a baby. She calls herself Diamond Grandma.
Oh my God, I love that.
Diamond Grandma.
What I'm hearing is an excuse to buy more jewelry.
Yeah, she's like, well, I gotta look the part. which I think is a real, I think it was a way to distinguish herself from my nephew's other grandma, which I think is quite a blow. It's like, well, my name's Diamond Grandma. You can take Mama. Yeah. So she's Diamond Grandma. She's delighted about it. Everyone loves a child. But my I'm trying to introduce different characters. I have an Auntie Rose, one of the aunties, who's very close to me. She's also my Jesus auntie.
What does that mean?
So she is the auntie that catfished me on WhatsApp.
Oh my God, yes. So good. Oh my God, she's a legend.
I was on my way to work. She texted me and she was like, Sophie, somebody loves you very much. And I was in quite a vulnerable place.
You freaking fell for it.
I fell for it so hard. And I was like, firstly, I ignored it. And then I was just like, maybe, you know.
Who are you hoping it would be?
Just like a human entity. Okay. I don't know. I was just like, she was like, maybe she's heard people talking. Maybe it's like a thing. I was just like,
which
okay.
Which is what it would be reasonable to assume.
We need like a televangelist prank show. like an Ashton Kutcher punk
Yeah, get him
style.
In. Would she do it?
Could it's
she host?
Jesus. She could. Like what, that Jesus rings the door. The host rings the doorbell, runs away. So for people
ding-dong
who
ditched, but it's a rock.
Haven't seen the tweet, I said who. And then she waited 7 minutes, or I waited 7 minutes before I was so annoyed on this crammed overground in London that I went, question mark, who? And she said, Jesus. Mic drop. Cross drop.
Gorgeous.
Nailed it.
Get it? So, auntie, Oh.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I think that's maybe the catchphrase of the prank show.
Nailed it.
So is this your mom's sister?
She is not a sibling of one of my parents. Love. So that's the thing about, I would say, aunties in lots of cultures, but West African aunties do not have to be related to you, do not have to look like you, do not have to know both of your parents. They just sort of assume, like, parental. They took the, like, little land phrase in loco parentis, and they're just like, you. And they just...
Can self-select themselves.
Yeah.
You.
So if I'm in, like, the market in Dalston, East London, where I live, like, there will be aunties that just approach me. I think
and
it's
audition
like,
you?
Yeah, it's just like rogue aunties looking to attach themselves to a host. And they're always watching. They're everywhere. So it's like a weird, like some aunties are tangentially related.
Can I ask a follow-up question on this? Is an auntie full-time job or can an auntie be a mom in and of herself? Is your mom an auntie to other unrelated children?
My mom is an auntie to unrelated children, for sure. Yeah. Auntie Irene. Mama Irene to me.
Diamond Auntie Irene.
Diamond Auntie Irene. she's an auntie to quite a lot of people. I think there's like, in both sides of my family, there are like matriarchs that pop up. So you kind of establish your own small business, your own pyramid scheme, if you will. And my mom has definitely done that on the Cameroonian side of my family. She's definitely popped up as like an auntie people go to
in
time of need. She's
Do
an
you feel like entrepreneur.
Love that.
Oh!
We're coining so many phrases on this. Do you feel like her vibes as an auntie are different than from mom?
Yes. Well, I think our relationship is different. So I'm the oldest daughter. I feel like you should have like a sound effect that has like a horse neighing. I'm the oldest daughter. Yeah. And that's a heavy cross to bear. I just want to get away from the Christian iconography. Yeah. But any eldest daughters listening will know that it's a fool's game. It's a schmuck's job. Yeah, it's a hard thing to do. And my relationship with my mum, especially as my surprise daddy left, has been quite, I wouldn't say strained, because she's always there. She's always had my back. Just pinning that cross to it. She's honestly the most amazing mother, and she's always been there for me. But that's
an intense relationship.
Yeah, it's an intense relationship, and I regress whenever I'm around her.
Yeah.
So I can't understand the easy laughing and joking that she has with like my cousin. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I love my mom, mm-hmm. but I'm not like a friend. She's not a friend mom to me. In fact, I literally talked to her about this last week and she was like, I'm not your friend, I'm your mom. I'm 34 years old. I don't know why you're saying this to me.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I guess I wouldn't have a friend who was telling me all the time that they weren't my friend. And it's like, you can appreciate the other elements of the relationship. No relationship the same. But some girls are friends.
Some girls are friends with friends.
Some girls are losers. I will say, I think it's really surreal to see your parents like play a different role. Mm. Like, especially for example, in my family, I obviously have very large age differences with my siblings. So my sister is 12 years older than me. My brother is 10 years younger than me. All three of us were raised by completely different people. And so like my sister went to a nightclub on her 18th birthday with my parents and they took shots. And me and my brother listened to this with our mouths wide open. We were like, I'm sorry, what? Wow. It's crazy to think of your parents, like, because to you, mom is mom. But even to them, the same mom is a different mom. Crazy.
Yeah. Oof. You have one of the biggest age differences I've ever.
It's crazy. Because my dad had my sister when he was 19. So he literally went clubbing.
Was a teenager.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, they've been like both incredibly young parents and quite old parents.
Yeah.
Not really old, but on the older end.
This is true.
It's
just something
so
to think about. Do you feel like your mom is a different mom to your brother?
Yes, I do. I think she uses me, though, as the conduit for all stuff. Like, she's like, Sophie will know what's going on. Or, like, there's something that she doesn't want to do. I think that I'm just, like, the representative of the kids.
Yeah.
So I think I get it. Like, I think I'm the...
Secretary.
So, like, they can just have, like, they don't have to deal with the, like, high-level administrative stuff. Oh, yeah. To be fair, though, in later years, like, as I've grown up and matured, me and my mum have a much better relationship.
Yeah, good.
And it wasn't like it was a bad relationship. It's just that I was like, okay, fine. Just like sort of like stewing, like she was always saying the wrong thing. It was never like dramatic bad with my mum. It was more just like I'd be like, I roll into the back of my head.
Not
treating her personhood as valid. And now I'm like, look at that sweet little diamond grandma.
That is a thing to learn. And when you see someone take on those other positions and see them in other contexts, I think for me an interesting thing is like seeing my parents with their friends and like hearing them talk about their friends. And then I remember that they're like
people.
Full people with full friendships and like lives aside from me. But actually,
your mum's like, this is my friend.
It's like, I know people. you're not my friend and you are not the only person I know. A thing that recently I was thinking about is because I have a dog, Louie, who I think you've met. You've definitely met.
Yeah. We are not friends.
You are not friends.
Not friends with
Olga is definitely not friends with Louie.
I really don't like Louie.
Truly
so
not a dog person, and that is okay. I accept that about you. I walk Louie around the park every morning, and actually one of my favorite things to do, because I meet lots of different types of people, and one of my park friends is a mother of like a 26-year-old 27-year-old, so nearer to my generation, and hearing her talk about how difficult her relationship with her child is from her perspective, which I think also is like a normal balanced relationship, but hearing it from the other side, I'm like, oh yeah, like there were times I could have just been less of an asshole, but I was doing my own shit and not thinking about how they were a person.
You're so selfish when you're
little. But you do regress to being a kid.
Yeah. But I also heard something which is actually, I think, quite deep. Not about me, but about one of my competitors in the Pink News Entertainer of the Year Awards, which I won.
Enemies for life.
I heard Rina Sawayama. Are we pixels? She's great. She's an amazing entertainer, but not the best entertainer.
The only singer to ever use the expression gig economy in a song. She's perfect.
She's
perfect.
She's wonderful. We've seen her live.
Yeah.
And she was talking on a podcast about how I think she had a slightly difficult time growing up financially, or at least her family did. And there was a bit where she had to like share a bed with her mum as a teenager, like at 15. And she was just like, oh, like, I hated it. Obviously, it was terrible. Like, that's the worst thing. You're going through puberty. Like, yeah. You're discovering yourself. You're meeting people and you're sharing a bed with your mom. And then then she was like, later I thought, like, how terrible must it have been to be a woman in your 30s sharing a bed with a 15-year-old? Like, the absolute worst.
That is worse.
Like, your life is more precious. And so, like, all the injustices that I was just like, oh my God, I have to do this. Like, when I was a teenager, I was like, my mom had to do that. Like, with me.
Yeah.
Like, bitching along.
Yeah,
so,
that's tough.
Shout out to Irene.
All love, to our patient mothers. So, you mentioned that your mother's background is from Cameroon.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us about that?
When?
Was she born in Cameroon?
My mum was born in Cameroon. I think she was born in... I think she was born in... I'm going to say Limbe. But she grew up in a place called Bemenda, and she has four brothers and sisters, one adopted sister, three other non-adopted siblings.
And are they in Cameroon? Are they here?
They're all in Cameroon.
Close to them? Are you
Okay, so my mum is the youngest of her siblings, which is why she's a soft babe that just wants to live an easy life. My mum is the youngest of her siblings. It was like a 2-2, so like two boys, two girls. She's got an adopted sister as well, who joined the scene later. And I think they're close, but since they all live in Cameroon and my mum lives here and she is the youngest, I think they're kind of like, okay, Irene. I think there's a kind of like, she's, you know, like off here doing her thing. And recently they've been like having to have like big family chats. So my mum has had to go to Cameroon to do that, which is difficult because Cameroon is A, very corrupt, and B, essentially in a civil war.
All right.
So it's, it's like a big, like having family peace pipe talks is kind of like a very intense thing.
Yeah, that's a lot. How often is she going back to visit?
I think she's going back like once a year, but she's not going back to... This is a bit of history, which you're welcome to cut out.
This is why we're doing this.
Okay, let's talk about North Cameroon. So my mum's from Bemenda, which is an Anglophone Cameroon, English-speaking Cameroon. Majority of Cameroon, French-speaking. My mum's little bit is English-speaking and kind of more allied to Nigeria, which has caused a lot of problems. We all know there are problems with borders and tiny little bits of countries. So that part of Cameroon... where she grew up is currently sort of like, fucked. It's like not getting that many resources. Like the government won't let like there be like internet and stuff like that there. But my mum is sort of set that she wants to go and live there. Like she wants to go back to where she grew up.
Yeah.
But she hasn't really been able to get back for a while. Is this fun? Is this
right?
Yeah, so she hasn't been able to get back for a while because the situation's so chaotic there.
But that really is home to her.
That really is home, and it's also where my grandma is and where her sister is. So she's like, I want to live there.
There's family there.
Yeah, but I'm just like, there's a curfew and there are rebels hiding in the trees. So don't go back. But that's her dream, to have a little house. She's actually built the structure of the house over like 20 years, and she's called it, it's like... Okay, so she built a house, her like dream house where she's going to go and live when she moves away from the UK, and she got the priest to bless it. But like Fariz, he put like all this holy water in like a water gun so he could spray the house.
Yes.
So the house is blessed.
The house is incredibly blessed.
The house is incredibly blessed.
It's moist with blessings.
It's moist with blessings. And her lodger at the moment, while there's like all the fighting is going on, is currently the village priest. So he's there in the house.
Okay, that's the dream. That's going to be the holiest house ever.
There is a lot going on there.
Oh my God. I love the idea of just like a priest with a water gun.
Yeah.
They can't stop themselves now.
It was with no sense of irony. It was just like, this is the most efficient way to bless all corners of the house.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. What would you use?
That's incredible.
Yeah, I can't think of a better way.
That's a business idea.
Water.
Balloon?
Balloons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Balloons would be fun.
That would be
the cleanup.
Yeah, that is a cleanup.
And it's humiliating to bend over in front of the Lord.
It's true. Unless you're into that.
Have you ever been to Cameroon?
I have been to Cameroon, yes. The last time I went to Cameroon was like 2017, maybe.
And do you feel like a spiritual attachment to it?
I went for my mum's mum's 90th birthday, and I was not allowed to read a reading at her at church on her birthday because my dress was too slutty.
How slutty was it?
So I will say it was a high-necked sequined dress, backless, and it had a slit on the side.
The slit in the back were the problem. Yeah.
I think it was the fact that I just looked fit.
I think you the stole
bitches in the Menda were like, wow, this is inappropriate.
You can't look hot in front of God.
I looked hot. It's very conservative. So I don't love going back to Bemenda.
If you showed up to my 90th birthday in a backless dress, I too would not let you do a reading. Sorry. Throw your own party.
Who broke it to you that you weren't allowed to read?
I think it was like one of the girls that like worked in the church. She was just like, sorry, no. Sorry, no, you can't. Because he's on the cross. He's going to be looking, you know. I would be standing at a pulpit facing the congregation.
Water.
I left soaking wet, and I can even tweet it because there was no internet. The internet was down. So yeah, it's my mum is from like a very small like a rural town, if towns can be rural. It's a small town, and yeah, it's kind of at the middle of not a conflict, but kind of a standoff with, yeah, the rebels, the government, local criminals who have just taken advantage of the situation, and just fun women like my mum who will believe literally anything. She was like, oh yeah, the government came in to try and attack the rebels, but they went on some sacred ground. So all of the like government troops were like attacked by bees. And I was like, and because they entered the sacred ground. And I was like, did that really happen? And she was like, I've got very many WhatsApps about it. There were bees. And I was like, okay, mum. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of just like deeply spiritual, religious conflict laden place.
But it's such a magical way of seeing life. There were bees.
She was like, there were bees.
Someone got stung, surely.
There were
Someone
bees.
Someone got stung. They should not have trod on sacred ground.
No, I agree. How did she end up in the UK?
So, my mum's sister, who's now back in Cameroon, my mum's sister, Auntie Bernadette, she was in, okay, this is like a cloudy part of family history, but I know that she was for some reason in Leeds.
Okay.
She was in Leeds and she had a baby who's now my cousin, who's now an adult woman, who's my cousin.
At this point, everyone else is in Cameroon. Bernadette is solo in Leeds with a baby.
Bernadette is solo in Leeds with a baby, but I think we can like, imagine how she maybe got to Leeds and she has a baby.
Right.
She's met someone. They made a baby. She's in Leeds. And my mum went to Leeds to like continue her education, but also to help my auntie take care of my cousin. So she was in Leeds. And this is why she really hated Leeds. And when I said I wanted to apply for Leeds, she was like, no, it's a terrible, it's a terrible dark place full of racism and you can't understand the accent. And I was like, I think this is colored by your experience of coming in like.
And then you said, fine, I'll go to Oxford.
Fine, I'll go to Oxford. But yeah, she came to study basically in the UK, but she spent some time in Leeds first because that's where my auntie was.
Okay. And then your auntie went back to Cameroon.
Auntie went back to Cameroon. And my mum met my dad in London. London.
Can you paint us a picture? If you want to.
Okay. So I'll paint a picture. But my parents are, spoiler alert, now divorced. So I don't speak to either of them about how they met. But I will speak as the child of divorced parents about the scene that I imagine.
Yeah, good. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
So we're in London. The year is 1980 something.
Okay, the Who is playing.
The Who is playing. the what?
People are dressed as mods, but only for a fancy dress reason.
Only for a fancy dress reason.
Double-decker buses.
It's a small house party. There is no cocaine. We know this because both of my parents have denied ever taking cocaine. Okay. But there is some
facts
alcohol.
Are flowing.
Facts are flowing. My mum, a soft babe, a beautiful young Cameroonian woman,
with awesome. A light Leeds accent.
A light Leeds accent. A light Leeds lilt. She winces every time it breaks out. A light Leeds lilt walks into a party. There's drinks. There's party rings.
She's dripping in jewels.
She's dripping in jewels. Then she sees, sitting by a speaker, wearing spectacles.
So he's smart.
He's smart.
He's brainy.
He's brainy.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A man who will only be referred to as K, because that is the only way my dad allows people to refer to him. I say K, not the name, K-A-Y or K-A-Y-E, but just the initial K, and my dad has insisted that that is his name, even though, after speaking to my grandmother, it's not. A man called K, a shy, introverted, sweet man from Ghana. And she goes over to him and says, "Would you like to see my rock?"
And he did.
And he did. And they hit it off. And they got married? Sure, they got married. Why not? And they had me.
Yeah.
And on the day that they had me, I was born at Edgware General Hospital in North London. My mum says that I was born at 4 p.m. around then, and my dad says I was born in the morning. First child. My mum says the afternoon, my dad says the morning. I'm more inclined to believe my dad because my mum had a cesarean, so she was asleep.
Oh, she didn't know what time it was. Yeah, fine.
She's like, I guess it was 4 p.m.
Is it on the birth certificate?
It's not on my birth certificate.
Oh, okay. So how do you do, I'm sorry, but how do you do your birth chart?
No, I know. I'm sorry. Literally, every single queer millennial has been horrified that I do not know my date, my time of birth.
I'm sorry, I feel
that
sick.
Crazy.
I feel sick.
I wonder if the hospital would have a record.
No,
I'm calling Edgware General Hospital so you can do your birth chart.
Hi. I tried during the pandemic, but I got left on hold. Hi.
I'm on a first date.
Sorry. That's the most unbelievably toxic thing I can think of, but I can't even think of a lie for why else you would need it.
Okay.
So. If you work at Edgware General Hospital and you want to do me a solid.
Yeah, find out what time Sophie Duker was born, let us know.
Yeah, he had to cross London Bridge and there was a terrible storm the day I was born. So he had to
it's dramatic.
Yeah, the 25th of January. Big storm. Big day. And when I was born, not to brag, but I was really tiny. I was a month early, so that's why he was going to work. I mean, he had to support me and my mama, Mama Irene. I was so small I could fit in the palm of your hand. And I got put in the incubator, which is like a little house for tiny children. I got put in the incubator and was being fed by a drip like a hamster, but they took that drip away from me because they said I was eating so hard and so fast that they thought I might tire out my heart.
Oh my God.
I was literally going to eat my heart God. Out. Yeah.
I didn't even know that that was like a physical possibility.
Yeah.
That's so poetic.
I know. A lust for life.
Yeah.
And you've been living life like that ever since.
Ever since.
Hungry and thirsty.
Hungry and thirsty.
For experiences.
Fascinating. So in your family, who is the furthest back person you know something about?
Oh, I think furthest back. So the relatively far back is who I knew personally is my paternal grandmother. I also knew my paternal grandfather, but I thought I killed him for a long time.
What?
Would you like to elaborate?
Because when I was like, let's say 3 years old, 4 years old, I was sitting next to him at dinner and I'm sitting next to him at dinner and I looked over at this man, my Kay's dad, and I thought, wow, this dude is old. He's really fucking old. I was just like sitting there just like flush with youth, like not even 5 yet. And I was like, this man is old. It's weird. No one's talking about it, but he's so old. probably in his like 60s or 70s at this point. So
that
I was like,
your first observational material.
Yeah, so I was like, has anyone seen this guy's old? And then I looked at his hand and I was like, I had like obviously like little baby hand, probably like chubby little, you know, lovely, I don't know, full of what's it called, lipids. Anyway.
Damn, you hate old people.
I had a lipid filled hand and his hand was just resting on the table and I was like, that's an old hand. It's got like, you can see the veins. It's sort of just like the skin doesn't fit right. So what I did is I took my fork.
No,
lifted it up and I rammed it into his head.
Oh my God, so Obi-Wan.
Do you remember doing it? You have a vision.
I mean, even if it's a constructed memory, yes, I remember it vividly.
Oh my God, did he see it coming?
No, he was just sitting next to his granddaughter. Just minding his own business, just put his hand on the table. I saw the hand, I got the fork, and I stabbed the hand. Oh, fucking God. Yeah, so then there was a lot of commotion. And then my dad was like, okay, I'm gonna take Sophie outside of the room, I'm gonna spank her. But then we went into another room, and then he was just like, pretend you're being spanked.
Oh, no!
But then he like, I don't know, he could have like spanked like a pillow or like something. Like, but he like spanked the wall, so he was like, dug, dug, dug. And I was like, ah!
Oh, he really got you started in acting?
I know, my first acting job. And then we walked back in and my dad's friends were like
she really is the entertainer of the year.
She is the entertainer of the decade? No? Yeah, the century. Yeah, my dad's
the millennium, I'll call it.
I mean, it was pre-millennium, so
yeah.
An easy win. Yeah, they were, so everyone knew I had actually been spanked. Like, no. Maybe my granddad was angry at me, but you can't really be angry at a cute little kid that just stabbed someone in the hand. And then he died shortly after. Like shortly after, like that's the next thing I remember. But I was a kid, so it was probably like a year or two.
So it's pretty airtight. Yeah, you've definitely murdered him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so. I don't. What do you even describe that as? But also iconic. That's the word for it. Yeah. Entertainer of the year. Indeed.
There is, in terms of far back, but obviously you do not know this person. My grandma's mum. There is a portrait of her hanging in my grandma's house, and everyone was like, you look exactly like her. In like a Daphne du Maurier way. People were like being creepy about like, you look so much like her.
But do you know anything about her?
I think she was maybe born on a Friday. That's important if you're from Ghana.
Okay, what does that mean?
It's just like everyone has different days of, as you know, everyone has different days of the week in which they're born. But there's like different significance. I don't know much about Friday borns, but I'm a Thursday born.
And what does that mean?
We are just great. Just great. Just very... I think we're very independent and very strong, like warrior people. I'm also Ashanti, that's the tribe that my grandmother's from, so that's also like boss. Yeah.
Is day of the week the most important? So I guess it's like the dominant personality metric,
I guess, like we would engage with is like a
zodiac, even though that's like really not,
it's,
you know what I mean?
It's sort of like, the one? It's because everyone sort of has names based on the day of the week. So my name is Abba. There will be lots of other Abbas, or you might have a Kojo or a Kwaku or something, and that will tell you what day of the week they were born. So you have like your gang of, your gang of Kwames. But it's probably your tribe. That's what you have the prejudices about. You're like, oh, the Gur people. They're so weird and spiritual. They love rocks. My mom's not from Ghana, but she would be. Oh, well, that's actually Ewe. Ewe people, very spiritual. Okay. Ashanti people, quite arrogant. I'm Ashanti. Quite showy-offy, quite powerful.
So are both of your parents, both of your dad's parents from the same tribe?
No, my dad's dad, who I stabbed with the fork, is from Cape Coast. So he's Fanti. And my name, Abba, is Fanti. Because my mum heard the name for Thursday, which was Ashanti, which is where my grandmother is from, which is Yah, and she was like, I don't like that. So
not for me.
Called Yah, which is actually a very prestigious name. Yah Santawa was a great female warrior in Ghana. Like, it's a good name. And my mum was like, no, she's going to be called Abba, secretly after the band. So
I wasn't going to say anything, but we're all thinking.
Yeah. My mum was like, I'm going to sidestep a traditional name. And she's just going to be like, a super trooper.
So, okay, this is an ignorant question, but I am curious. Mm-hmm. And also tell me if you don't want to answer it or if it's dumb. But like, what is the policy on like inter-tribe courtship in Ghana?
Oh, inter-tribe courtship. I think I think it's fine. Okay. I mean, like, the borders aren't real. The country isn't real. So there are Ewe as a tribe that's, like, all over West Africa. There are Ewe in Ghana. There are Ewe in Togo. Maybe even as far as Cameroon. But people have, like, a lot of pride in their tribe. I think it's fine. It's okay. It's like you were going to, you know, date someone from, I don't know.
Leeds.
It's frowned upon, but it's okay. Leeds. Doing a tour date in Leeds. I love Leeds.
Yeah.
Great shows, great people, and it's a handy size for a city. It's great.
No, Leeds is wonderful. It's got a canal system.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about it.
We love Leeds. My mother was wrong. And if you've got anyone in Leeds that sees the Virgin Mary like 10, 20 times a day, we'll come visit.
We're the first people to set up a Leeds pilgrimage site. Do you feel like you're, like, culturally, which tribe do you feel more affinity to?
Versus Ashanti and Fanti?
Yeah.
I think there's, like, a sort of, like, mysterious nature to, like, Fanti culture. But because Ashanti culture is, like, so dominant in Ghana, I'm just like, I'm Ashanti. I was like, I'm an Ashanti, like, the singer. Like, that was cool.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a princess. Like, you, like, to be Ashanti is to, like, lean into being, like, powerful, being a princess, being, like, a bad bitch. And Fanti is just kind of like, you live by the sea. I don't know. Ooh, Fanti. I mean, Fanti people write in, but.
Do people, like, when you say your name is Abba, do people assume that you're a Fanti when you're in Ghana?
Yes, 100%. Okay. Yeah. I'll be like, you're from Abba, and they're like, oh, okay. Once I went to Cape Coast, which is Fanti, and I was there with all my friends, not all my friends, but a small group of friends that had come with me. They were all white, and the woman spoke to me in Chui, and I said, I don't understand, but I said I was Ghanaian to get cheap entry in. And she was like, you're Ghanaian, but you don't even know the language of your ancestors.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. Damn, Ma.
Oh my God, that was way harsh.
Yeah.
There's no coming back from that.
No.
I'm so sorry.
I literally went back and was like, you're from Abba.
Googling outside. Show up.
Yes. Cool.
How often do you go back to Ghana?
So my grandma, Ma, is dead. I don't need to lead with that. But since my grandma died, since my dad's mum died, who was like one of the matriarchs that rise up in my family, I decided that I wanted to make Ghana more a part of my life. So I'm trying to go once a year, at least.
And do you have lots of family there? Does your dad have siblings there?
My dad also is part of a classic four. So two sisters, two brothers.
The ABBA.
The ABBA.
Two boys, two girls. That's an ABBA.
Two boys, two girls. It's a great rhyme scheme. It's a great band. It's a great familial structure. Both the boys left. My uncle lives in South Africa. South Africa. Is that New Zealand? I can't tell. South Africa.
Do you need to roll the R? Do you need to roll the R for
South Africa?
South Africa.
Right in.
Africa. Right in.
But said respectfully.
Yeah, South Africa. He lives in Joburg. Where am I from? I'm Australian now. Okay.
You are Australian. I am Australian. South Africa. Also, on a gap year.
I'm saying South Africa.
Yeah, well, yours is even better, I think.
Yeah, you got to roll the R. It's the same as saying as like Barcelona. We're honoring
Barcelona,
the local pronunciation.
Yes. That's what we're doing. I'm not going to come in and say South Africa. Who says that? People from Leeds. South Africa. I'm not going to say it like a Yorkshireman. I'm going to say it like an Australian.
It was respectful the way you did it. He was culturally engaged.
My uncle lives in South Africa. My dad, who knows where he lives, allegedly between Ghana and Vietnam. I used to think my dad was a spy when I was younger.
What made you think that?
I thought my dad was a spy because the evidence, he wasn't home a lot. He was very mysterious. And he did this thing with the car, which he said was like the Astro Gamma propulsion drive, which is where he pressed some like triangles in the middle of the dash and like all the lights flashed.
Oh, yeah. He put on the hazard lights.
Yeah. He wasn't a spy.
That's cute though. I like that as a bit very dangerous. But...
Yeah, very dangerous. He used to like literally stop on roads and be like, we're going to Astro Gamma propulsion drive. And me and my brother would be like, oh my God.
That's such a cute bit.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's such a cute bit. Oh my God, everybody has to steal it.
Yeah.
Whoever have kids.
Road safety first, but also steal it.
Yeah, sure.
Turned out that my dad wasn't a spy, but he was having an affair, so. Oh.
That is sort of the being a spy of the adult world. Yeah.
Oh.
Look, we've all been there.
We've all been there.
I mean, the two of us
We've all slept with your dad.
I haven't asked, but it's all to play for.
We're wearing red lipstick to honor the other women.
God.
So you, I do want to ask you about, because you, when you were a little child, went and lived with a grandma.
Yes.
Briefly. Which grandma was that?
That was my dad's mum. So my most recent show, Hag, is about this. The Hag might refer to Ma, even though she was a G, but my parents sort of did the classic tell your kids they're going to Disneyland and then leave them and go.
No, yeah. they said the words Disneyland.
I thought it was a special trip. I think that, I don't think they literally said Disneyland, because I'd been like, this seems off.
Where's Mickey?
But they were just like, they basically didn't tell us that we were going to go and live in Ghana for 2 years, because I was, how old was I? 4 years old? And my brother was a baby. So like the conversation with my brother would not have gone that well. But they, it was just like, cool 90s parenting, cool 90s immigrant parenting. They were like, come on, let's get on the plane. I was like, Disneyland. Got there, lived with my grandmother for 2 years.
2 years? So did you not see your parents for 2 years?
I did see my parents. Okay. They came back, they like visited. I saw them during that time.
Do you have memories of Ghana from
yeah.
that time?
Yeah. That was like my first memories were of Ghana. Yeah, my first, like, these are definitely memories. It's not stuff that I've made up. Definitely from Ghana.
I don't presume you remember how you felt at the time, but did you think that like this was permanent, or were you like, any day now I'm gonna leave?
I don't know. What I do know is that I feel like it is definitely, so I told a comedian who you may one day have on the show, doesn't matter. I told a comedian, Kiri Pritchard-McLean, that when I went to Ghana, there was a bit where, don't freak out, I stopped eating. Like, I stopped eating, and everyone tried to get me to eat. Like, everyone tried to, like, bribe me. They tried to make my favorite foods, but I wouldn't eat anything. And then my dad came back, and I started eating right away. And everyone, like, told this was, like, a funny joke. Like, okay, got it to eat. And Kiri went, that's what dogs do when their owners go away. She was like, oh, my God, that's trauma. And I feel like there's so much stuff from, like, your childhood. You're like, yeah, that's not a funny story.
Oh, yeah, that you only realize later, of course.
Oh, no. And many times later, I was like, Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's
I also got malaria.
Oh God.
Whoops.
You got malaria?
Yeah, I've had malaria 3 times.
Really?
Yes. I'm like Cheryl Cole to the power of three.
I feel like in 222 next. Wasn't that what Cheryl Cole was in?
Yeah. Apparently she was good in it.
Is it still running 222?
I'm sure it is. But they're like, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. They're like Miss Piggy ass.
Oh yeah. I've seen that. Fingers crossed it comes to Leeds.
Leeds Playhouse, the three of us are in it. I feel like one of those things where I don't want to dwell on how traumatizing that is, because I don't want to retroactively have trauma.
No. I don't feel traumatized by it now, even though, no. I think what it is that I think you make big decisions, like lots of parents make big decisions to like, sometimes decision they have to make, like to move house, yeah. move country, like make financial decisions or like leave their kids places. And I know there's a narrative about, I was never in boarding school, but I really wanted to be in like a Harry Potter naughty
school. Okay, I also
school.
Think you would have thrived in a boarding school.
I would have thrived in a boarding school. I was just like, I'm a witch. But people who have those experiences always talk about like how obviously devastating it was to be away from their parents. But it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like between a rock and a hard place. I don't think they had to leave me in Ghana, but I don't think there was as much like conversation about like, now there are like incredibly eloquent like 2-year-olds that like sit down on TikTok and talk to their parents about why they made that decision. But I think at the time, the like parenting thing would do is to be like, make the hard decision and just do it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I don't think they're bad parents. I mean, it was uncommon. My sister was sent to live with my grandparents for 2 years when she was born, because they didn't have anywhere to stay.
They were doing shots. They were 19. Yeah. But yeah, and also like my memories from Ghana, I lived with my grandma, my auntie, my dad's sister. Also like there was like a little compound. So they like I was with my cousins, like I was like around people all the time. So like a lot of my happiest family memories
loved.
Are from that
you
time.
Were
I was
cared
loved.
For.
Yeah.
They noticed when you stopped eating. That probably is a good start.
Yeah. They're dealing with their trauma. They're like, how funny that we were entrusted with this kid and she stopped eating.
Yeah, yeah. Incredibly
they
stressful. They
just got a cardboard cut out of my dad and like put it on the table at mealtimes.
I mean, now I think the fact that you stabbed your granddad in the hand just means you're hungry.
Oh shit, yeah. I was just like, everyone else gets to eat, but I gotta wait for my dad.
It is weird to like know a really old person when you're a child. Like probably your grandparents, the only really old people, you know, or even like great grandparents, you're not socially meeting unless you're, now they do those nursery schools where they'll like be in an old people's home. Have you seen those?
Oh, I haven't.
I actually think they look really cute. I saw that they're doing it in the old, or they were,
they all
doing
need
it in
diapers.
The, yeah, in the old people's home where my grandpa was, there's now a nursery school that like is there and plays there and visits there. And so they like, they're like, all these people need taken care of, putting them together. But otherwise the only old people you ever meet probably are your grandparents.
Yeah.
And they're so much older than you.
So much older. I thought like my grandma was like a mythical being.
Yeah.
Like she was so powerful. She was just like,
I remember Galadriel. With my grandpa being like, I gotta be nice to this guy. He's like, he is so old. Again, he's so old.
He's so old. It's like, it can go either way. Either you're like, I gotta treat him with love and care.
He doesn't know anyone else. Like, he needs me to really like nod and smile.
Okay, I'm about to say something. I've never said it before, so it might not make any sense. But you ever see kids and then you also see old people and you're like, they're operating on understanding 30% of what's going on.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? You're like, and you kind of start, you have this fear being like, how am I ever gonna... out.
Yeah.
Whereas as a kid, you're totally fine because you don't know better.
Yeah.
So I do wonder when you're like, when you're old, I guess you feel just like a kid where you're like, yeah, it's 30%, but I get by.
I think that my mom is doing that. I think she's like, it's better on the other side. I think she's just like,
30 is enough for me.
I don't know, but I mean, like, this is like a joke, but like when people weaponize incompetence, my mom's just like, how would I do it? I'm just a soft baby girl.
Yeah. And fair enough. Yeah. Do less.
Do less. And I respect it, but I'm just like, mom.
Yeah.
Like the stuff, I think ideally my mom would, I think it's the time when you like, I don't want to,
Work smart, not hard.
Work smart, not hard.
Make the 30% work
for
you.
She would just like me to do the difficult stuff.
I mean, also a lot of immigrant parents will like have the kids do the admin because they will speak like the local language better.
Yeah.
I remember whenever we went to the States when I was a little kid, I would do all the forms. I would talk to everyone at restaurants, airports,
That's
hotels, because I spoke English and my mom didn't. And to this day, my mom still doesn't because she nailed it. She
made
30% work for her.
Yeah. You must speak by and away the best English in your family.
Yeah, and my brother speaks the best German because now they live in Germany and he does all the medical forms, the car insurance, all of it. They don't speak German or English. They've nailed it.
I don't contribute anything to my parents. I don't help my parents with nothing.
Imagine having a personal translator for the local language that's just, you don't have to pay
beautiful,
them.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's always like, people are always just like, I want my kids to grow up bilingual. And it's like meant to be for the kids. It's not for the kids. It's like, I would like to.
Yeah, you just don't want to go to the DMV. That makes sense. Send this 15-year-old to the DMV. Make him sit there for 4 hours.
I was thinking about this the other day, though, and like, my favorite parents are parents who want their child to learn a language that they have absolutely no connection to at all.
Yes.
Just like for funsies. Like kids who go to like, I feel like that's the vibe of like, what's that French, the lycée? You know, there's like that really fancy French school.
Yeah.
And it's like, not all them kids at that school are French or have French
They're
parents.
Not French. It's just like, I prefer that they in restaurant.
It's Florian, French.
What I do want to teach my kids, which I don't have any knowledge of, but I do want to teach my kids BSL.
I think that's a really good idea.
I think it's really, really good. It's really like, basically, obviously, it's got practical application.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't speak. Sometimes you've got a sore throat. Sometimes, you know, like, I think autistic kids, like, there are some autistic kids in my family. My Auntie Rose has two autistic kids. And, like, they learn, I think they learn Makaton, actually, commonly.
Yeah.
But I think it's, like, very good to be nonverbal. But really, I just want to be able to bitch with my kids about other people.
How fun is that?
That is amazing.
I think that's a really good one. Yeah, lots of babies learn, like, a baby sign language now. And it is weird that you'd be like, well, this makes complete sense for you to, like, we understand that you have the ability to do this thing when you don't have the ability to do words, but then we're like, and then don't worry about it ever again. Like, that's it. That's a great one.
In Nicaragua, basically they didn't have a Nicaraguan sign language. So I think during like some conflict, I'm butchering this, but in the 1980s, they put a bunch of deaf kids in a school together, and they never had deaf schools before, and they never had a sign language before. So the kids developed it themselves.
No.
And now the official Nicaraguan sign language is the one that those kids developed in that school.
That's
Isn't that
so
crazy?
Cool.
Isn't that so cool?
That's incredible.
Because they were like, we need to communicate. Let's figure it out.
Awesome.
And they like created punctuation. They created, like, it's so cool.
Wow. That's incredible.
Okay, I love that. That's a great fact.
My kid's going to speak Nicaraguan. No, they're not going to do that.
But yeah, they have to invent their own is basically.
You're going to invent your own sign language.
I feel like my version of this is I have always strongly felt I like need my children to be good gymnasts. I don't know why. I just think it's like, Look, something I just feel like I would have enjoyed in my life is like the ability to do the splits, the ability to do a backflip.
A backflip.
You know what I mean? And it's like you can only really, really learn to do a backflip when you're a child.
Yeah.
And so if your parents don't get you backflipping, you have no choice. So yeah. That's what I'll be doing.
You'll be like, resenting your parents for never forcing you to do a backflip.
I just, do you know what though? My parents did make me do judo for years. Were you a judo?
I was not a judo. I did ballet and piano. I did two classes of ballet. I should stop putting that on my CV.
I did ballet. On a Saturday morning, I did ballet because I wanted to do ballet. And then for some reason that I don't know if it was like gender related or whatever, my parents were like, well, if you do ballet in the morning, you have to do judo in the afternoon. I think they probably just really wanted me busy for the whole day.
Yeah.
I think that was like gender affirming. Yeah, in a way that, like, cool. They didn't want you to go... They yeah. wanted you to keep your options open.
Yeah, they didn't want me to just be, like, a little ballet girl. They were like, she's going to be, like, fighting as well. And I didn't like judo. I was no good at it. Like, to be honest, for me, judo very much meant sitting on a crash mat having a chat. Like, that might as well be the practice of judo for me. But in judo, you learn to fall over a lot. And I actually have had very few, like... touch wood, broken bones, and like I think I fall have always fallen quite
well. You fall well.
I think
you
I fall well because of it. I think I learned how to fall. I think that was how I learned, and it has reduced injury in my life overall.
Okay, if this was 10 years ago, this would be an incredible TED talk. I would just like to.
I had to do judo,
learning how to fall
so I could fall properly. Yeah.
Sorry, what were we gonna say?
No, I was just gonna say that I think it's. I mean, maybe I hate that I might become my parents, which. I won't because I'm not a youngest child. But but I do think it's good for kids to do stuff that they don't want to do, yeah. like judo or like piano. I don't want to do piano or live in Ghana for 2 years or get malaria. I just think it's good because even if it's not good in the way that your parents wanted, I feel like there's, like you don't always get to do what you want to do all the time.
Oh, 100%. And it's like, being bad at a thing doesn't feel great. But then the more you are bad at it, the better you become down the line.
Yeah, it's more fine to be bad at things.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And for type A perfectionists like we three, a good lesson to learn.
I mean, in adulthood, it's so, whenever you come in, the example that is in my head is so embarrassing, but the very first time I did improv. But I went to my first improv class and I was like, I feel actively bad at this. And it's very rare in adult life that you pick up a skill from the bottom and it's uncomfortable because you're like, I'm not used to this. Because the last time you felt like you were bad at a thing was when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And here we are podcasting the best that we can. All right. Should we wrap this up?
Thank you so much for sharing your family story with us.
Thank you so much.
Is there anything else you would like to either mention about your family or about what you want to do with your family or plug?
We could talk about how my brother has the perfect family.
Oh my God. Let's talk about that. Tell us about that.
So my little brother has a dreamy family. Even though he has had a child, # out of wedlock.
So modern.
I've
so
seen
great.
A video of your nephew and you've sent it to me. And I'm pretty sure. And I just watch it sometimes just for fun because he's the cutest kid
I've
ever seen.
He's the cutest
thing.
He's perfection. He's the Maya Jama of the under fives. He is so cute. My sister-in-law, even though out of wedlock, is an artist. She makes incredible, I don't know what it's called, but art that doesn't represent anything specifically, but it's beaded, it's 3D, it's tactile, it's huge,
mixed
stunning.
Media.
Mixed media, non-representational art. They live in Detroit. My brother is obviously a black British guy in America, which means that if he wasn't in a committed relationship, he'd be getting loads of pussy.
Having a great time.
And he has started a business called Good Pluck, which is trying to deliver fresh fruit and vegetables to people in Detroit because it's a food desert. So he gets up every weekend and goes to the markets and gets vegetables because he can't hire a lot of staff because he's just starting out and the business needs to scale and stuff. So it's just this him driving
God.
Vegetables to people and his girlfriend painting beautiful things and my little baby nephew walking around eating peaches and doing yard work. And then sometimes he sits down and does his art with his mum. And when she has an exhibition, he has his own little corner and he displays his art.
No!
Oh my God, that's the cutest thing.
He displays his art.
Okay, dream life. Anything is possible.
He has his little
And I'm like, that is the perfect family. He has a little chair.
Yeah.
And he sits for a while. He just gets into it. He's like, we're making art.
And is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yes, I would like to plug my little nephew's art exhibition and my brother's vegetable business. I just want to plug myself. I want people to be part of my family. I'm doing so many shows all the time, and I'm working up a new show I'm so excited about. So if you follow me at Sophie Dukebox, or go to my very user-hostile website, which is www.sophieduke.com, you can be part of the fam.
I love that.
This episode of Family Jewels was produced by our nephew, Andrew White, in the fantastic Trusty Hog Studio.
I've been your one fun cousin, Charlie Denkin.
And I've been your dad's brother, who's still living in the basement, but promises he's leaving any day now, Olga Koch.
Like, subscribe, share, and talk about us at your next family reunion.
And if you have any family stories, secrets, or skeletons that you want to share, DM us on Instagram.
Or leave them to us in your will.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.